This morning, for our scripture reading, we will turn once again to Psalm 51. Last week, Sunday evening, the Lord used Reverend Van Overloop to bring the word based on verse 4 for a preparatory sermon. This morning, for the sacrament, on the occasion when we celebrate the sacrament, we will consider verse 7 of Psalm 51. We'll read the entire psalm. This is the word of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Thus far we read the word of God this morning, considering verse 7 as the text. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We learn from the scriptures the importance of confession. And last Sunday evening, we considered the importance of confessing our sins rightly before God. And in that confession, there is also adoration. God is glorified by the right confession of our sins. We can see that in verse 4. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I understand that Reverend Van Overloop explained that that is not a denial of the fact that we do sin against the neighbor, but that is an acknowledgement of the fact that God is God, and that transgression of the law is always transgression against God, whose law the law, all of the commandments belong to. So that when we sin against the second table of the law, which requires that we love the neighbor not only, but we love the neighbor for God's sake, we can truly say that we have sinned ultimately against God, not loving the neighbor for his sake. So in verse 4, you can see how David, the psalmist, makes a confession of sin that also adores or glorifies God and sees God as God. Now, following that, the psalmist, David, makes a thorough confession of his sin. He not only acknowledges his sinful deeds, the sin of his adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah, but he also confesses the sinfulness of his nature. The source of my sinful deeds is my own sinful nature. I am thoroughly corrupt. Then, in verse 7, which is the text we consider this morning, we find another important element of prayer, and that's supplication, requests. And the request that David makes follows naturally from his confession of sin. Having thoroughly confessed his sin, seeing his sin, saying, "My sin is ever before me," David's request is for salvation from sin, that he might be cleansed from his sin. And his full request for salvation is found here in verses 7 through 10, but this morning we focus on verse 7. Two parts, but one idea. Purge me with hyssop, wash me. There's the request, two parts to the request, but one idea. Cleanse me, O God, from my terrible sin. This is the request that we now naturally make after a week of self-examination, in which we see that our sins are ever before us, in which we see that we have sinned against God, that the source of our sinful deeds is our sinful natures, we now come with this plea. O God, cleanse us from our sins. Now it stands to reason that if you haven't examined your sins, you don't acknowledge them or your sinful nature, you don't see the need for salvation, and this request won't come from your lips. But if we have seen our sin and sinfulness, this is our urgent plea. And we notice this morning, in the first place, that this is a bold request. There is, although it's implied, it's not explicitly stated this morning in this text, there is implied a confession of sin. Purge me with hyssop, wash me. Why? Because I'm dirty. I am filthy. Why? Because of sin. And that's clear, of course, from the context that that's David's concern in this psalm. Sin has made me foul and filthy before God. Sin has made me foul and filthy before the entire congregation, all of Israel. How must they be looking at me now as the king who has committed adultery and murder? And sin, now that it has been confessed and acknowledged by me, makes me foul and filthy in my own sight. I abhor myself. I am filthy before God. I'm not clean, but dirty. And I'm not white. What color are we? The reality of our sin is pictured by what? Dirt? Picture those young children with their clean clothes playing in the mud, and now their clothes are black, brown, whatever color the mud is. No, know. Look at verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God, thou God of my salvation. David is not asking there for the Lord to deliver him from murderers who might want to shed his blood. But David is asking the Lord not to deliver him from others who would sin against him, but he's asking the Lord to deliver him from his own sin, which he describes as blood guiltiness. Blood, red. In Isaiah 1 verse 18, the Lord describes Israel this way: though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson. The color of guilt in the Bible is red. The color of guilt in the Bible is red as it signifies murder. So when you think of the dirty or the dirtiness and the filthiness of sin, and then you think of that for yourself personally, don't say, this is me, I'm black, because there's mud on me, but I'm red, because there's blood on me. I'm guilty of blood. I am a murderer in the sight of God. And that blood is not just on the surface. The idea here is that it has clung to me like a dye, and it's penetrated to my inmost being. I'm stained with the filth of bloody sin. And I am not only guilty and stained, but that red blood also signifies what the sin deserves: death. Red blood, that is blood that is shed. We know that. There's a death. This is what I deserve. Now, there's nothing that can be done about this stain of blood with which I am stained. No one in all the world. This is what makes this a bold request. Bold enough, isn't it, for a young child to come in with the clean, the clothes that were clean that mom gave to him that he has made filthy, and come in and say to mom, now I expect you to wash these, to make them clean. And mom might be a little bit indignant. Number one, why did you make them so filthy? And number two, do you think I'm a miracle worker? There's nothing that can clean these clothes. And as we look at our sins this morning, that's the conclusion that we come to too. Number one, we're guilty. We're the ones who were clean. God created man upright and righteous, and now we have become filthy because of sin. And then we recognize there's nothing in all the world that can take away that stain. Tide won't do it. Dawn soap won't do it. My works, my minister's works, my parents, no one can take away the stain of my sin. God must purge me. And you see how bold that request is, don't you? This is the God that in verse 4 I said, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. To that God, we make the bold plea, purge me, wash me. Now, the stain of sin requires a unique washing. Purge me, David prays. And if he didn't, after that, say, wash me, we wouldn't probably understand the idea of this purging, that this purging is a washing, a cleansing. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was a plant that God commanded the Israelites to use in a ceremonial way. It was a plant that they were to take and they were to dip the foliage of the plant into blood, the blood of the sacrifice, the burnt offering. And then when that plant was saturated with the blood, that blood would be taken to the most holy place and would be sprinkled in there to purify the most holy place. Or that plant with that blood soaked up by the plant would be taken before the congregation of Israel, and the priest would sprinkle that before the people to signify that they were cleansed from their sin by the blood. We read of this in Hebrews chapter 9, where the writer of Hebrews speaks of this ceremony. Hebrews 9, verses 19 through 22. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool with hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The idea is this. The blood of the sacrifice was necessary to pay for sin. And the only way that anyone can be clean is if their sin has been paid for. And then, the only way that they could be considered clean is if the blood of that sacrifice was sprinkled on them to cover them, to show that their sins had been paid for by that sacrifice. That's what's needed in order to make one clean from sin. And you understand that's somewhat strange. We would think that if you were taking red blood and sprinkling that all over the tabernacle and all over the people, that that would make them dirty, red. David understands theologically and spiritually what's going on here. In the sacrifices of the Old Testament, God was saying to David and to all of the people, you can't pay for your own sins. And that's why there's a sacrifice. You watch the sacrifice being made. Someone has sacrificed an animal in your place for your sins. That sacrifice represents you. That sacrifice has taken your sin and your punishment in your place. And that sacrifice points to the coming of the Messiah, so that David in the Old Testament is appropriately praying, Lord, wash me by doing this. Send the Messiah. Send him to death. Let his blood be shed to take away my sin. That's what David has in mind here in the text when he uses the word purge. Purge me with hyssop. That word purge actually comes from the word for sin in the Old Testament. And it has the idea of this. Bear the punishment for sin. Suffer the consequences for sin. So that David was saying this, Lord, I need to be delivered from my sin in this way. Someone needs to come and suffer the consequences for my sin for me. Someone needs to bear the punishment for my sin for me. And only in that way, because God is righteous, because God is just, only in the way of sin being paid for can I be cleansed from my sin. So David is asking for Jesus Christ to come in his place to offer the perfect sacrifice to pay for his sins. And he's asking for God to give to him the assurance now in his heart and in his mind of that forgiveness. That's the interesting thing about the reference to hyssop here by David. It'd be one thing for David simply to ask for the sacrifice to be made. Lord, let the sacrifice be made that will pay for my sin. But the hyssop, David and the people in the Old Testament understood this, represented the instrument that God used to apply the benefits of the sacrifice to his people. So that the sacrifice was made to pay for the sins of the people, but now how am I going to receive the benefit of that? That's the question. How is that blood going to be applied to me that I may know I'm forgiven? And David and the people would come to the temple. The sacrifice would be made. And the priest would dip the hyssop in the blood. And he would sprinkle that on the people. And God used that to declare to the people, "You're clean. You are forgiven." Well, now, God the Holy Spirit doesn't use hyssop to bring to us the blood of Jesus Christ, though he is in heaven, to cleanse our hearts and our consciences. But he comes with the preaching of the word, and he comes with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and he applies the blood of Jesus Christ to us and says, "The stain has been washed away. You're clean. You're white. Whiter than snow." So you see, this is the hyssop this morning. The preaching of the word, the sacrament that God is using to sprinkle you. Now not literally, but spiritually with the blood of Christ that cleanses you from your guilt and sin. And David was so sure of that. We are too. That he could say, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow." David, and this is important for you and me to understand this morning, is speaking about the wonder of justification by faith alone. This is the wonder of God's act of justifying us by faith, that we may know that we are perfectly clean, so white that we're whiter even than the snow, not just now in heaven, but now, this morning. That's what David wanted. "Let me know now, Lord, that I am perfectly justified." Sanctification is also a wonderful work of God that follows justification, in which he does cleanse us. He cleanses us from the power of sin. He cleanses us in such a way in sanctification that you and I, and the Lord's Supper is going to strengthen us for that this morning, that you and I begin to fight against sin and walk in thankful obedience before God. But that sanctification, we know, is not perfect. Not now. We still have our sinful natures and we still commit sins. And yet this is the truth that David is confident of. "Although my sanctification is not complete, my justification is. Although the power of sin is not completely done away in me, the guilt of sin is completely done away. There's not one sin the guilt of which clings to me if God purges me and washes me and declares me forgiven." No, there's no red, white. David could go home from the temple, or he could go home from wherever he made this prayer with this assurance, this certainty: "I'm righteous." That's what the white represents. Red is the symbol of guilt. White is the symbol of righteousness. And if you ask, how white? The best earthly illustration of the spiritual reality of our righteousness in Christ is the snow. the ground covered with newly fallen white snow, shining with brilliance, reflecting the light of the sun. This is what the blood of Jesus Christ does for us. Only that, understand, is a faint picture, David is saying when he says, we shall be whiter than the snow, so that we may stand before God in the congregation and in our own sight, perfectly righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. And not just when we get to heaven, but now. You certain of that? Do you have any question about whether God is able to do that this morning? David is speaking about the power of the stain of sin. With man, removing that stain is impossible. But God, with his word and the sacrament, says to you and me this morning, you do believe in Jesus Christ, don't you? You do believe that he is the Son of God who came in human flesh, don't you? You do believe that his blood was more precious and valuable than the blood of all of the bulls and the goats that were offered in the Old Testament, don't you? Remember and believe that his blood was shed to take away all your sins. But is he willing? Are you certain of that? All right, you might say, God is able. I don't doubt that for a moment. Jesus Christ is able to cleanse all my sins, to make me whiter than the snow. But why would God ever want to do that for me? Blood guilty sinner that I am, who sin not only against the other people here, but always against him. Well, the answer, once again, is you believe in Jesus, don't you? Now, I can't tell you why. Why would God send him for you or for me? But he did. And he says, it's my covenant, and you're my people, and that you should not perish in your guilt. I sent my son in your place to shed his blood, to tell you of my power and my love. Now as you come and you confess your sin before me, God says to you and me this morning, you may know from the preaching of the word and from the sacrament, I will wash you, and you will be and are whiter than the snow, for the sake of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll turn to the form for the administration of the Lord.